you have to understand, or you're probably not understanding anything in the Bible. This is the number one priority that every single one of us need to know. And I'm talking about the love of God. It says without love you really have nothing. And so it's extremely important that we understand this subject. And so I'm going to get into it in some detail in the next two or three Sunday mornings. Because, as I said, if you do not understand this, it says without love, really, your life's not really have any real purpose. And so I want you to have purpose in your life. And the Bible talks about two or three different kinds of love. We talked about this last time. There's this phileo love, which is really a strong affection or a strong feeling of love for people. And a lot of us have that. It comes naturally with most of us. And you can have a love, an affection for certain people, particularly if they love you back. Particularly if they give something in return. We all have that kind of love. But that's not the God kind of love. There is a particular type of love that it would be called the God kind of love. And that's what we want to talk about. And that is very simply called agape love. You'll not understand life, you won't even understand why you're here, unless you understand God's kind of love. And so I want you to understand that. And it's very simply what we call a choice. God made a choice to love you. He made a choice to love you before you were ever born. He made a choice to love you before you ever took one breath. He made a choice to love you before you were even conceived in the womb. He knew everything about you. He knew everything you were going to do in your life, the failures in your life, the blessings in your life. He knew what you were going to think. He knew what you were going to say. And he knew what you were going to do before you were ever born. And before you were ever born, God chose to love you. Now, he did that knowing that you would sin, knowing that you would make mistakes. Some, a lot of mistakes, some not so many. Some terrible things, some maybe little white lies, whatever. But God knew everything about you before you were born. And he chose to love you before you ever took a breath. Now, what that means to you and I is extremely important. He chose to love you before you could do anything right or do anything wrong. So that means none of those things affect the love of God for you. What you do right, what you do wrong is not going to affect this love. Your circumstances can affect the love. What you do cannot affect his love because he chose to love you unconditionally, without reservation, in full power of God. He chose to love you. So I can tell you right now that God loves you right now. I don't care what you're doing, what you've been doing, or anything else. That doesn't condone what you're doing, necessarily. But the issue is, what you do can affect his love because it is an eternal, agape, unconditional love. And that's why the Bible says God is love. Now, what I'm trying to do is show you what God is like. That's what the Bible says he's like. He's love. And somebody's always saying, if God is love, why does he allow wars? And why does he allow this? And why does he allow something else? And why does he allow murder? And why does he allow storms that take people's lives and tornadoes and floods and all these kind of things, Hurricane Katrina, why does God allow it? I'll tell you this, because God is not the source of those things. The source of those things is an enemy called the devil, called the adversary, called old Slewfoot, whatever you want to call him. That's, everything bad came from him. Everything good comes from God. In fact, the Bible says that bad cannot come from God. Now, I know this. Some of what I'm telling you might be radical, but there's very few churches that teach the truth about God. Because they say, if you do this sin, you do that thing, you do this sin, you do this thing over here, God's not going to love you, and that is not true. Because His love is not like your love and my love. Now, that doesn't condone sin, and that doesn't mean you can just do anything you want to and get away with it, because with sin, there's consequences. It's built in to the law of God. There's consequences to sin, so you don't get away with anything. Nobody gets away with anything. If somebody goes in a courtroom, sits as a witness, and lies up one side and down the other, they are not going to get away with it. They may at the time, but in as far as eternity is concerned, they will not get away with it. So you have to understand that nothing changes God's love. Now, with that in mind, what that does is give it, put a tremendous amount of responsibility on us. Because what are we supposed to do with the love of God? We are to respond to it. Our part is responding to God's love. Now, we read some of these scriptures, and they're all important. And I think John 3:16 we went over last time, where we talked about God so loved the world. That means every person in the world. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And the qualification is His love gave His Son. Our responsibility is to receive Him. That's our part in the matter. We are to receive the love of God. If you do not receive the love of God, then you will be separated from that love forever in a place called eternal hell. The Bible makes that very clear. So nobody is without excuse, because we all have the same opportunity to respond to the love of God. Everybody does. Some people go through harder things than other people, but that's beside the point. The point is we all have the responsibility to respond to the love of God who gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him, and that word believe means it's more than just, oh, I know, I think that's a wonderful idea. It's to receive it for your own life, for your own eternity, for your own destiny. Is to receive this forever. It is to trust God that He means what He says in His Word for eternity. And you are giving your life. He gave His life in Jesus Christ. That's the perfect love. And then we give our life to Him. That is the way this whole thing works, that we call salvation. It's more than knowing about God. It is knowing God and His love. Do I hear an amen? Amen. All right. I'm giving you just the basic of this thing, which many times, unfortunately, is not taught, because there's somebody always saying, now you be careful now what you do when you go out that door, because if you do this, 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 and this, and this, God will not love you, and I'm here to tell you that's a lie. It absolutely is. You can't change the love of God. Nothing you can do can change the love of God for you. But the issue is, God cannot help you eternally unless you give yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him as your only Savior and Lord. Back in the time of Christ, many nations had many gods. I forget how many gods they said was in the shrine of Mecca over there in Saudi Arabia with Islam, but it was hundreds of gods that are over there. And the only thing Muhammad did was by the sword, he claims, there's only one of these gods that's a true God. And he said, that's Allah, and Allah is the moon god. That's the difference. Now, I'm going to be teaching on Sunday nights the difference between Islam and Christianity. And I don't know if I'll get to that tonight, but I'm going to be teaching that on Sunday nights, just for your information. And so I think that's something we ought to know, what the differences are. And I just gave you one. But the issue is that we need to understand what John 3:16 means. It's probably the most important scripture in the entire Bible, because the whole Bible is about the love of God. Now, if you read the Bible, you'll find a lot of things that people did wrong. You'll find what they did right, what they did wrong, what they said was right, what they said was wrong, and their actions, and so forth. You see all of that in the Bible. The Bible is particularly the Old Testament, is a picture of God working with a nation basically called Israel. And you find out what they did wrong with God and what they did right with God and all this kind of thing, and so forth. But the issue is that agape love is not an emotional love. Now, Jesus Christ did show emotion. Jesus Christ showed phileo love. He showed the natural love that man has. He wept at times. He wept over Jerusalem. He wept over Lazarus, that he had died, and all this kind of thing. But the agape love of God, the basic of what God is not an emotional love. It is a willful decision by God. Now, this is no reflection against anybody's divorced or any of that thing, but I'm just telling you what marriage is supposed to be, two people coming together. Now, maybe they had this emotional love to decide, but they wanted to get married, and when they make that decision, that marriage decision is supposed to be agape love. It is supposed to be forever. Now, this is no reflection on anybody. There's nobody perfect. So don't worry about that. I'm not giving anybody a hard time about that, but I'm just explaining there would be fewer divorces if people understood that, and generations ago they did, because a lot of times it's made a decision. I remember this guy. They were married for about 65 or 70 years, and he told me how he met his wife. And so he told me the story, and he said he was a farmer, and he used to come in this little town, and he'd go into the store, and in the store they had a place there where they sold homemade pies and cakes and all that stuff. And there was a lady in there, a young lady, that made the pies. And if I remember correctly, he told me something like this. She got something like 20 cents a pie. That's what she got for making these pies. This was way back, you understand. And so he got to know her and kind of liked her. And so one day he went up to her and he said, why don't you marry me? I can pay you a lot more than you're making baking these pies. So it sounds like, well, that's a ridiculous way to get married. They made a decision. They were married at least 65 years because they stood on that decision they made, that willful decision they made. Now, I understand abuse, and I understand some abusive situations that a person has no business staying in, and I'm not getting into all that. But I just want to explain that's the way God does things. We are basically married to Him, and He made that decision knowing everything about us, right and wrong, which very few people know everything about each other when they get married. But God knew everything about us, and He chose to marry us. You see. Now, in fact, I want to look at this. I want to show you something. So everything is responding to the love of God. Look in Ephesians chapter 5, because it talks about marriage there, and I want to show you how it's supposed to work the same way. It's very interesting. This is not a thing on marriage, but I just wanted to show you something in here. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22, and everybody, particularly women that's gone through abuse, get upset with this. But I want to show you something here that I think is interesting. Ephesians chapter 5, 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. Or I should say, for the husband is head of the wife as Christ is head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Now, therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, that really blows some people's minds. But they didn't read the next verse, which goes with it, which says, husband, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. What is the responsibility of the husband? To love the wife regardless, with a decision that he makes, that whether she does good or bad, he's still going to love her, and he's going to watch over her, and he's going to be the head over her, and all that kind of thing. And nowhere there does it say, if the husband doesn't do his part and he's abusive, that she's supposed to submit to him and everything. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that there. It all depends on the love, the decision the husband makes to receive the wife, and when he does that, that's supposed to be a lifetime thing. Now, I understand husbands fail, wives fail, things happen, all this kind of thing, but I'm talking about that's the way marriage is supposed to work. The reason for that is, we have some days we're up, some days we're down, some days we're mad, some days we're happy, some days we're excited, some days we're sad. And if you let that determine the love between the two of you, you're going to have a mess. And I'm going to tell you, it's the same way in the Christian life in our relationship to Jesus. You may not feel like being a Christian one day. You may not feel like God's doing what He's supposed to do. You may not feel like that God is speaking to you. You may feel like what you did upset God. I have news. Nothing you do upsets God. He has chose to love you regardless. You say, well, what if I go out and shoot somebody? More than likely, you're not going to do that if you know Jesus. But the issue is, yes, it doesn't change His love one bit. Now you say, I just can't get this. I just can't. It just doesn't register. It just doesn't compute in my mind. Well, you have to ask God to help you with that, because that's what the Bible says. I'm telling you, that's why the Bible says God is love. That's why it says that. And that's exactly what it says. Now we're going to look at some more things about this love, because when you get this right and when you understand it, you're going to understand the relationship with God better. It's going to make it easier to you to be related to God on this earth. And it's even going to help you in your family and husband and wife relationships, because you begin to understand what this thing's all about. And some of us probably ought to recommit to our husband and wife if we're married and determine, I'm going to love you whatever for the rest of my life. Some of us that didn't start out right need to get it right now. You see, it would save a whole lot of problems. And the same way with this thing about your Christian life. If you understand that nothing you do is going to change God's love for you, that would change my everyday life. That would change what I'm going to be doing in the future. That's going to change about what I'm working for in my life. That's going to change about me preparing to be with the Lord forever. Because we have somebody that loves us that will never change. He's not going to change His word after we get there. He's not going to say, oh, I forgot to tell you about John 3:16. That was only for about 20 years. And then it's no longer effective. It's not going to be that kind of a deal. He will never change one word in this word. Never, ever. So what we have to do is respond to that. Now, we have to choose to live in God's kind of love. There was more to this thing than us loving God and God loving us. And I'm going to get into that in just a minute. That's just as important as us loving God. But I'll just tell you what it is. It said, we are to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and what? Our neighbor as ourself. And you know what we have a tendency to do? We have to say, well, that first one's number one. That's the most important. And it is. But the second one, however it goes. No, it's just as important as the first one. Yeah, right. There you go. Right there. See? Now, the issue of how does somebody know you're a Christian? By your love for people. That's how they know. God is love. You belong to Him. Your desire is to be like Him. Your goal in life should be to be like God in that respect. Oh, I'm going to blow your minds before this is over. We're going to get down to it is what this whole thing's all about. And some people say, I don't want it. They may say that. I understand that. But I have to give you the truth, and I'm not going to water it down. I'm going to tell you the way it is. It's God's love. I'm telling you what this thing... Most of us have no clue about what love's all about. I'll just tell you that right now. We haven't got a clue. We think it's emotions. Basically. That's what we think. And it's not so. It's part of it, but it's not really it. Now, I can tell you this right now, the world doesn't understand it. They never understood somebody, and I don't know all the whole details on this nun called Mother Teresa, but I'll tell you right now, the world didn't know what to do with her. They didn't know what to do with her because she was showing the love of God to the down-and-outers and the ones with AIDS and all this kind of stuff. And I mean, she made the world nervous. She spoke before the President Clinton and a bunch of other big shots here in the United States, and she didn't bat an eye. She said, any nation that endorses abortion will not stand. Yeah. I mean, there, whoa, what have we got here? You know, she shook them up. Because she was talking about the love of God. You see. Now, I'm not condemning anybody. I'm not judging you. I'm preaching to myself today. I'm not the judge. And I'm not putting anybody down for anything they've done. I'm just telling you, it doesn't change God. Now, I told that story last week about this lady who was working in the bank that used to have access to all the money in the bank, and all of a sudden $100,000 was missing. So her boss said to her, "You did it." She was the only Christian in the place. She said, you did it. Well, she knew she didn't do it, so they couldn't prove it because she didn't do it. But this went on for months and months and months. And finally, all of a sudden, they found out that Brinks had made a mistake with this money, and they found the money. So the boss came to her and said, "I'm sorry, forgive me, I'm sorry," and took off for her office. She followed that lady right into the office. And the boss thought, "Man, am I in for it now? All the grief I gave this lady over all these months, accusing her of something she didn't do." That lady looked at her and said, "I love you and I forgive you." And her boss didn't know what to say. And finally she said, "I want what you have." And within the next week, 5 employees in that bank got saved. That's a true story. Now, that's how we make a difference in this life. Most of us just mess around with this thing called Christianity. And what God wants us to do is get down to business and do it right. And so that's what we're getting at here. That's what I'm showing you now. This lady made a decision to love her boss even when the boss said she stole his money. She made a decision to love her. She wasn't able to tell her until the whole thing was over, but then she told her, and a bunch of people got saved. And so, this love, the love for God doesn't really come from us, it comes from Him. It's His kind of love. That's the only kind of saving love there is. It's God's love in us, returning to God, in a sense. The Word of God is His love letter to us, and the Word stirs us up. The Holy Spirit puts His love in you, and that's really how you get saved. We really have nothing to do with it other than making a decision. We have nothing to do with salvation but making a decision. "For by grace are you saved." That's what the Word of God says. "That's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, lest any man should boast." I'm talking about it's a gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God. We don't deserve it, we don't earn it, we don't have it in us, we have nothing, we're lost, we're dead, we're separated from God, we were born that way, and God has to intervene in our life, God has to run us down, God has to place it in us, and all we say is, "Yes, God." Now, interesting enough, there's a lot of people who don't do that. There's probably more people who say no to God than there are who say yes to God. Interesting enough. But that's their decision. So, now, let's look at a few verses, and we're going to get into this thing. And let's look, let's see. 1 John 4:19. 1 John 4:19. Not John, 1 John. Well, if you're listening, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, I don't want to put anybody to sleep. 1 John 4:19. If you go to sleep, just don't snore. We had a lady in here one time that was snoring. It was loud. It was really a riot. I mean, everybody. And nobody wanted to wake her up, but she was making all this noise. And all of a sudden, she had a hymnal sitting in her lap. It fell out and hit the floor flat and sound like a shot going off. She about jumped up through the ceiling, and It was it was a scene. Well, anyway, 1 John 4:19. Okay, here's what it says. Now look at this. This is what I've been saying, and it's right here in one sentence. We love Him because what?
He first
loved us. One more time.
Because He first loved us.
Okay, there it is. That's what I said. That's what it took me probably 20 minutes to say, and there it is in one sentence. It's in your Bible. Underline it. Circle it. Put some stars by it. There it is. We love Him because He first loved us. Now look at this in verse 20. Is also what I've said. If a man says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. That's pretty strong, isn't it? If a man says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loves not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he's not seen? And this the commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. Now, that's not an emotional love. You cannot stand to be around your brother, but you still have to love him. I didn't say you had to live with him. I didn't say you have to put up with a bunch of nonsense. I just said you have to love him. Okay? You have to pray for him. He's going to get saved. You have to pray for him. He's going to get healed. You have to pray for him. He's going to change his attitude. And that's the way it is. What's it say about God? He's up there praying for us. He's not, it has nothing to do with His love. He wants us to start living like we say we are. That's why He's praying for us, it says. Jesus is up there praying for Him. He's not up there just doing nothing, waiting until He's returned. He's praying for us, and so forth. Now, let's get into the definition, the Bible definition of love. Let's get into that. John 3:16 is part of it. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. I don't know, it might take me 6 months to preach this, but I'm going to stick with it. So we're going to know the love of God one way or another here. Okay. All right. We want to look at verse 4. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love suffers long. Is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunteth not itself. In other words, not self-centered. Is not puffed up. It's not full of pride. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeks not its own. Not trying to get the best for you opposed to the best for somebody else. Is not easily provoked. And thinks no evil. I'm going to get even. I'm going to get even. I'm going to get even. No, that's not the love of God. Rejoices not in iniquity, sin, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And then in verse 8, love never fails. Let's say that. Love never fails. Love never fails. You'll never fail if you have the love of God. You will never fail if you have the love of God. I didn't say you'd never do anything wrong. I didn't say you'd have it all together. I said as far as eternity is concerned, you'll never fail if you have the love of God. And that's one of the reasons I believe you can't do anything to change your salvation. But that's just another issue. But I'm just telling you, the love of God never changes. The love of God never fails. If He says He loves you, you receive that love through Jesus Christ, you have the love of God that never fails. How can you fail? I didn't say you never sin. I didn't say you never make a mistake. I just said, how eternally can you fail if you have the love of God? The issue, you cannot. So I don't care how badly you've messed up to this point, it can get better, and if you're a Christian, you will not fail in eternity. Are we to do the right thing here? Yes. Are we to follow God's laws on this earth? Yes. Are we to obey the Ten Commandments? Yes. It hasn't got anything to do with salvation, but it has to do with the Christian life. We're not going to lie. We're not going to steal. We're not going to commit adultery. We're not going to murder. We're not going to bear false witness. We're not going to covet everything everybody else has and have to have it because they do. We're going to love with God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. We're not going to bow down to some image. And we're not going to use the name of the Lord God in vain. That's called the Christian life. That's not salvation. God just shows you what His standard is. And that's the love standard, if you want to put it that way. But it's not a test of His love, because He never failed in any of those things. So this is the foundation of all truth. Love never fails. I want you to see that. I'm giving you the foundations of the Christian life. Now, we are to, love is patient. Love is protective, trusting, hopeful, or the other side, being envious, being boastful, being proud, being rude, being self-seeking, seeking or self-centered, finding joy in the faults of others, blaming other people, keeping a mental list of what others did wrong. That's a guaranteed disaster. And some people do it for 20, 30, 40 years. Messes up their life. You can't live normally having a hit list. That belongs to Grace's relatives, not you.
My dad said, we'll get the boys.
We'll get the boys. That tells you right there. We're going to make this right. Okay? That's not God's love. I don't think I have to tell you that, but it's not. Okay. So the point is, if you do that first list I talked about, that you have God's love. If you do the second list, you don't. Just that simple. Okay? Now, where in the world does that love come from? It comes from God. He is the source. It can only come from Him. Man cannot conjure it up. Man can't dream it up. Man can't work it up. Man can't do anything. Man has no clue as to what the love of God is, because it was lost in the Garden of Eden when Adam sinned. And don't say that's not fair. I'm going to get even with God, because I just talked about that. God didn't have anything to do with it. Man gave it away. It was not God's plan. He knew it was going to happen. He made a plan for it, and that was Jesus Christ on the cross. He knew that was going to happen before the foundation of the world. He didn't have a second thought. Oh, I better go to plan B. Jesus, get ready. Wasn't that kind of deal. He already knew what was going to happen. He knew the messes we were going to get into. And so that's the way that was. Let's look in Romans 5:5, and I'm going to quit in a minute. Okay. I'm just getting started here, really. If you're getting anything out of this, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not, say, oh me. Romans 5:5. Well, I hope it doesn't get too bad, because I know this one preacher, he said this morning on TV, he got just about the time the service was over, it wasn't quite over yet, he got a call that there was a bomb in the building and somebody was going to blow the church up. And so he said he had probably the fastest benediction in the history of his ministry. And people got out of there the fastest they ever got out in the world. But I don't think there was a bomb. So if you're going to prepare one, let us know, will you? That's a point I'm making. Yeah, right. Wait till after the potluck. Okay. Romans 5:5. For hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given unto us. How do you get the love of God? When the Holy Spirit comes to live in you at salvation, you have God's love in your spirit. Now you have to get it out into your life and what you're thinking, what you're saying, and what you're doing. Those three things. You want the love of God into your thinking, into your words, and in your actions. Now, that is called the soul. The love of God is in your spirit. You receive that. It's salvation. So it's in you, but you have to get it through you and out to this world so you can start loving like other people. Some people say, I just don't understand why I can't love other people. Well, you have to understand it's God's love working through you, touching somebody else. It is not yours. Somebody say, well, now if I can just conjure up, get my mind right, get everything right at home, make sure my kids aren't mad and my husband's not mad and this other person's not mad, then maybe I can love my neighbor. That's not the way it works. It'll not happen. Okay? So this has to become an experience in your life rather than just knowing the information. When I give you the Word of God, it's to be experienced in your life. It's not just to know this, write it down in a notebook, say I have the information, and then present it, the notebook, to God when you die. That's not going to do any good at all. He's going to say, did you live it? Now I can give you a little foretaste of a part of this is going to be, if you did something wrong, you repent. If somebody did something to you, you forgive. That's the difference. When somebody does something to you, you forgive them in the love of God. When you do something wrong, you repent before the Lord. Now, what Satan has done, he's blinded people to the facts that I'm teaching you here today, and that's why we got churches all over the country that where people come on Sunday, fill their notebooks, and go home and live like whatever the rest of the week, and then come back on Sunday again. Because they're not experiencing what God has, they're just putting it in notebooks or making mental notes and not doing it in their life. God says, now's the time to start doing what we're teaching here. Now's the time to do it. It's not just to know it, it's to do it. You know what the right thing is, now do it, you see. And somebody says, well, you know, I just don't know if I can trust this person. I don't know if I can do the right thing in the love of God and leave it up to Him. Are you listening to me? Okay. I'll tell you who's going to get the rewards in heaven. Those that learn to live Christ-like in this life. Yes.
I think sometimes we need to ask God to help us.
Oh, absolutely. You ask Him to help you in everything. You can't...
Help me love this person.
Yeah, absolutely. Use your love through me to this person. And that means you're going to love that person regardless of what they do. Doesn't make any difference. You're going to love them anyway, and you're going to pray for them when they're doing wrong. Yes.
And then God gets the glory.
Yes.
It's not you being the smart person.
Yes, right.
It's Him.
Yes.
Giving it to you.
Yeah. I'll tell you what God's love is. Not expecting anything in return. Yes. Our love wants something in return. Our emotional love wants something in return. That's the way it is. I'm going to love you if you love me type of stuff. I'm going to give to you if you give to me. I'm going to bless you if you bless me. That is not God's love. God's love is doing it regardless, and maybe never in this life getting anything in return, but I guarantee you'll get it in the next one. You will get a return. Yes, ma'am.
I'm going through exactly what you were talking about.
Yes.
This woman, and I Christian. I can't deal with this. So I started praising. And by God, it worked. Meanwhile, this woman, who all of a sudden she's everywhere I go, she's I sit outside, she's there. And I feel fine. Hi, how are you?
There you go.
So there is victory in the Lord.
I'm glad you said...
That's only one incident. I live in a high-rise, and I, as a Christian, choose to mingle with everybody.
That's it. You got to choose to do these things.
I don't sit apart and say, well, I'm a Christian, I can't. No.
Yeah.
A lot of them are Christians, and you don't even know it until you get to know them.
I'm glad you said, by gum. You made me kind of nervous, though. Okay. Anyway, well, I think we're having a lot of fun, but I think we'll quit. But anyway, get ready next time. Now, if you don't show up next Sunday, I'm going to take your name.